Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsor, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls because, well, we are right now have on the line Chuck Chrismeyer. And Chuck Chrismeyer was an attorney, a very successful attorney. When the Lord called him out of his law practice to become a minister, he lives on the East Coast. He's written two books, which we carry, one out of Egypt, and the other is called Renewing the Soul of America. And he has his own radio program, and certainly is one of my favorite guests. Chuck, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, Stan, it's always a delight to join you and your listeners.
And, of course, we are certainly facing a moral crisis in America today. Would you like to just describe some of the things that you are so concerned about?
Well, Stan, I'll tell you, it's a veritable avalanche of debauchery that has been unleashed on the nation. Of course, WorldNet Daily, just a couple of weeks ago, called it anarchy spreading across America, meaning lawlessness. Speaking of the homosexual marriage issue, and yet the homosexual marriage issue was said to be inevitable because of other things that began transpiring in the late 60s and early 70s regarding heterosexual marriage. And it just seems that at every point now, the dam has broken loose. It reminds me of one of the stories in American history. It was called the greatest natural disaster that ever had hit the America in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, back in the late 1800s. There was a dam there in above Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and around the dam were all of the great summer homes of the great moguls of the Industrial Revolution, like Carnegie and so on. And they had these beautiful, expensive homes up there on this lake. And everybody knew that the dam was weak. The engineering was not proper. And in spite of all of that, they raised the level of the water to meet the feelings and attitudes and desires of the rich people around the lake. And then one day it began to rain. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it never stopped raining, it seemed. And the waters kept going up, and people had been warned about this dam, pastor and people alike. Rich and poor alike had been warned, and warned, and warned, and warned, and nobody paid any attention. Then all of a sudden, the water starts coming over the top of the dam. Pretty soon it slices through it like a warm knife through butter, and pretty soon the whole dam just blew out. And the rest is history, as the entire city of Johnstown was engulfed by the worst natural disaster in American history. And that's kind of what's happening to us. It's a moral and spiritual. The floodgates have been opened, and we're seeing devastation.
All right, fine. Well, just hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Chuck Chrismeyer. We talk about the moral anarchy that is sweeping our nation. And remember those words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, I fear for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And our guest this afternoon is Chuck Crismeyer, a former attorney who now is a minister, talk show host, writer, and certainly one of our favorite guests. And he's been talking about the moral anarchy, which is sweeping across America today. And, of course, the homosexual issue is simply one of the major issues that we have, which seems that dishonesty is a way of life, that politicians routinely lie, as do our people who sell us stocks. And, of course, well, I shouldn't say anything about lawyers, Chuck, but I'm sure that you know that certainly if we were to take a list of the ratings of people, why, you know, the lawyers would be down right there, right around with the mafia.
Well, they would, and unfortunately, pastors have not rated all that much better recently.
Isn't that really a shame?
It really is. You know, we've lost moral integrity at every level of the society, and that's the reason why USA Today, about a year ago, in the summertime, featured on its front cover the word trust, talking about how trust had eroded at virtually every level of American society. And trust is based upon truth, and when you lose truth, trust goes bye-bye.
And, of course, we've seen what's happened to the Catholic Church and the sex scandal there. But, you know, if you look at to see what's happening to ministers and divorce, why the incidence of divorce among ministers, at least in the South, is just about the same it is in the general population. And actually, in the general population in the South, you have less divorce among the unmarried than you do among the, you know, among the non-Christian than you do among the Christian. That's probably because a lot of people are just living together. But still, it's a pretty sad commentary on Christianity in America today.
Stan, it is, it's an appalling commentary. And what's so striking about it is that it seems that the more Bible-believing we claim to be, the more fragile our commitment to our marriages. What's wrong with this picture when the scriptures say, better it is that thou not vow than that you vow and not pay? And yet our vows mean almost nothing in God's own house. The divorce rate now among born-again Christians is 4% higher than the nation as a whole. The divorce rate in the Bible Belt is 50% higher than the nation as a whole. And since the nation as a whole is 50%, we're looking at 75% of marriages in the Bible Belt now breaking up in divorce. In Oklahoma, it's 79%, so much so that the Oklahoma governor declared a national emergency just a few years ago, not a national, but a state emergency, a marital emergency. And yet, here's what troubles me.
Hold that thought right there. Okay, Dr. Stan here, our guest Chuck Crismeyer, and we're talking about the moral crisis we face today. And, of course, a lot of this gets into divorce within the church and the fact that certainly you'll find a higher rate of divorce in many places in the church than you will in the general community. What's wrong with this picture? And you find an extremely high rate of divorce even among ministers, especially in the South, where the Bible Belt area of America, where you would think that belief in biblical views would be held so strongly.
Dan, it's astounding. Actually, the divorce rate for our pastors now all across America is equal to that of their parishioners and is the second highest of all professions in this country, which means even from the pulpits of America now, there's no moral integrity to speak on the issue of the sanctity of marriage. And that's why there's so few that do. And so the whole thing is so watered down that we can't hear the truth for love nor money, even for in the pulpits of America. And then all of a sudden, we have this amazing spread of cry for homosexual marriage across the country that WorldNet Daily labeled anarchy. And then the homosexual community is responding and saying, why are you guys rising up in arms about this? What's the deal? You guys are divorcing your spouses faster than the rest of the nation. You Christians, why should you point the finger at us as if somehow we're doing something strange? We're just doing the same thing you're doing. And you obviously don't believe that the Word of God, with regard to the Bible, with regard to the issues of marriage and divorce and remarriage, are valid for today. we're in the 21st century. Therefore, you should understand that things have changed for us too. I mean, this is the argument. Now, I don't buy the truth of their argument, but their argument has great persuasion because it points out the absolute unmitigated hypocrisy of evangelical Christians.
So what can we do? How can we rekindle that spark of a fundamental belief that at one time was the hallmark of America, where America was looked upon as a moral country and where our pulpits flamed with righteousness? That isn't much the case anymore.
Well, Stan, that really is the question. How can we bring about the change? How can we restore that which was? And you made a great quote there from Alexis de Tocqueville, when he said, "It was not until I went into the pulpits of America, the churches of America, and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness, that I understood the secret of her genius and power." And that's what we've got to do. We've got to restore the authority of the Word of God in the life of the people, starting in the pulpits of America. If pastors would embrace the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you see, it's not enough to just say, "I preach the truth." You have to preach the whole truth, because if you only preach part of it, you're deceiving the people. Martin Luther said that if a pastor or anyone else preaches the greatest sermon, has it, you know, it's theologically wonderful and you've done a great job of presenting it, but you don't apply it in the area that most closely touches where the people are living, you've deceived the people. And that's what's happened. Pastor and parachurch leader alike have said, "God wants you to have wonderful marriages. He wants us to, you know, love one another and have great, you know, treat our spouses well." That's true. He does. But he also hates divorce. And that's the part we haven't been willing to preach. We haven't been willing to tell people that God calls divorce treachery three times in Malachi chapter 2, a word that's derived directly from the word treason, which means that God sees divorce as a treasonous act against his kingdom. But we don't see it that way because we think we have our rights. See, we've convinced ourselves that God's ultimate design for us is happiness when he says it's holiness. And now after 40 years of pursuing happiness, we're neither happy nor holy. So what we've got to do is decide to agree with God. If we don't agree with God on what he says about marriage and divorce and remarriage, then we might as well forget about what he says about salvation. Why should we agree with that? You see, what we're doing is arrogating our viewpoints over God's viewpoint, which is the ultimate expression of pride. That's why Apostle Paul said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, that we've got to cast down our imaginations or our reasonings and thoughts and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring them all into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He's saying you've got to decide to adjust your thinking to agree with what God says. And if you don't, you're in apposition or opposition to him, which means we're placing ourselves, even as born-again Christians, in the crosshairs of the God who made and preserved us a nation.
And, of course, no nation has ever survived very long once they've turned against the God of the Bible. And you see this over and over again in the Old Testament. Maybe that's why we don't read and study the Old Testament much anymore. It might make us realize, of course, the problems we have here in our own country. And then you talk about, you know, preaching the whole gospel of Christ, but there are a lot of things that make people feel uncomfortable. A lot of people don't want to go to church and come out being convicted of the fact that they're sinners. They would far rather go to a church where God, the minister tells them God wants you to be happy and tells them a lot of jokes and a lot of funny things, and they come out there feeling very good and uplifted, and then they go out and continue sinning.
That's true, and you know, we've convinced ourselves that God's ultimate goal for us is happiness, which it is not. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy," and He wants us, you know. I think one of the problems here, Stan, is a lot of people will say, "But there's no grace in that message. Where's the love? Where's the grace?" What we don't understand is that grace is not just favor. It's God's willingness to use his power on our behalf. It's his quickening power to enable us to do that which we ought to do. It's not his overlooking our failure to do what we ought to do. It's his enabling power to enable us to do what we ought to do. And so the other aspect of it is that some people will say there's no love in it. But what we don't realize is God's not just concerned about my individual circumstances. God is concerned about his church. Christ is building his church, not just an individual person. And so we've got this idea in America that, well, certainly God would let me divorce my spouse. Yes, he's against divorce, but he'll let me divorce my spouse, or he'll let me remarry when my spouse is still living, even though we know very clearly that he is against that. And we've convinced ourselves of this kind of reasoning because of this hyperventilated individualism in our country, thinking that it's all about me, when from God's standpoint, it's about his church.
Well, we have real problems in the church today, as I think that the foundation of the religious belief of so many of our leaders has gradually eroded. A lot of our ministers today don't believe in hell. They certainly don't believe in the doctrine of eternal punishment. They certainly deny that there is a punishment for sin, and of course, they once saved, always saved. We just don't have to worry about anything, and I think they're leading an awful lot of people to eternal damnation.
Well, there's no question about it, and of course, the Apostle Paul talked very explicitly about this, and you know, the whole church loves the Apostle Paul. He is the one from whom we get the primary message of grace and faith and so on. And yet he says to the Corinthian church that claimed to be the most spiritual of all of them, he says, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators nor adulterers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's pretty strong language. And that means that those who are shacking up outside of marriage, living together, cohabiting, or those during marriage who are having sexual relationships with other people, or looking at porn on the internet or in films, or in addition to that, even those who are divorcing according to the laws of men and then remarrying, all are committing adultery or fornication from God's viewpoint. And what we've done is redefined those terms according to man's laws, as if man's civil laws now will supersede what God has said. But God sees it differently. Jesus made it very, very clear. He said, a person, a man or a woman who divorces their spouse, causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. Now, I don't know what it is about that we don't understand, Stan, but that's what Jesus said. And when the religious leaders of his day argued with him, just like we're getting all these arguments today, excuses, all kinds of rationalizations, just a couple of days before his crucifixion, Jesus had an encounter with the religious leaders of his day over this very issue. And they said, well, isn't it okay for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus said, well, no. But they said, but what did Moses say? He said, well, Moses said we could divorce our spouses. And Jesus' response was this: yes, but from the very beginning, it was not God's will. It was not so. But Moses gave that law, that civil law, to you because of the hardness of your hearts. But it was not so from the very beginning. So Jesus made it very, very plain on this issue of marriage and divorce. And I think, Stan, that this is the fulcrum issue. If we can get a hold of this issue and come clean before God on it, repent in God's own house, there's hope for our nation. If we don't do it, I think we're going to see debauchery blanket this nation in a way so unprecedented it's going to it would make Sodom and Gomorrah blush.
All right, you hang on to that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just wanted to mention that we do carry the Phenopoly. It's a program that's designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And if you, children have difficulty spelling, or if they have difficulty reading, they're probably victims of the current educational system, which is designed to dumb down our children. Now, in about 16 hours, you can undo all the damage that has been done. And so we hope that many of you out there will seriously consider getting a Phenopoly set. Most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. It's a game played just like Monopoly. And, of course, once you have spent the 16 hours, you've learned the 40 sounds of the English language, the 12 basic rules, and whether it be an older person or a middle-aged person or a young person, they said they can read. Call 1-800-544-8927. It's Monopoly. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Chuck Christmeyer. And Chuck is a minister, is, of course, on the East Coast. His radio programs are heard there. And whereabouts are your radio programs, sir, Chuck?
Well, actually, we're heard up and down the East Coast, and we're getting ready to be heard in Oregon again. And we're also heard on the web. Stan, we've had a fascinating thing develop in the last 4 or 5 months, in that according to TrafficRanking.com, our website has launched into the number 3 ministry website in the world, which has just been an astounding development.
Now tell us how they can get to your website and your ministry.
Well, the website is saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org. And Of course, we have our radio program can be picked up there any time of the day or night on the archive section of the website, in fact, going back up to 60 days. And we have a vast web store there and many articles. We have one of the things that would be fascinating, not only for you, Stan, but also for your listeners, is the fact sheets that we have available. Those fact sheets are so astounding that they have been used by major ministries across the country and have also been incorporated into books by others across the country. And those could be accessed, again, on our website, saveus.org. We've got the State of Ministry, Marriage, and Morals. We've got the Illegitimate State of the Union. We've got the Sexual Seduction of the Union. They're just a whole bunch of these astounding fact sheets that truly reveal in a very distilled way the real condition that we are in as a people.
Well, I think that people have to realize that we are a nation that's turned its back on God, that has given up the very foundation of its religious belief, and with that, of course, with we are freedom, because we were a unique nation in all history, a nation where we pronounced that our freedoms came from God. And, of course, as we turn our back on God, most people don't understand, but we're also turning our back on our freedom and our future and on our families. And really, people have no idea that what happens when you lose your freedom. They think that their security lies in the money they have in the bank or their 401k or their pension fund or their material possessions, and all of those things will be lost if we lose our freedom.
Well, that's true. You know what I came to realize, Stan, just recently? Israel was the apple of God's eye. And God had chosen the seed of Abraham, the physical seed of Abraham, to extend covenant promises there. And because they rebelled over and over and over again, rebelled against his prophets over and over again, including Christ himself, God gave them double punishment for all their sins. Now, when our country was born, our early colonists saw America as a new Israel. Not to replace the Israel, the physical seed of Abraham, but they saw it in very much the same way. And so the discussions, the writings, what they said, all saw this as in very much the same way. When Israel came out of Egypt to the Promised Land, America came out of the Egypt of lack of freedom and bondage in Europe, and came to the Promised Land in America. They called it an errand into the wilderness. Now, here's what really gripped me. If God would not let Israel, the apple of his eye, chosen, get by with their rebellion, why would he allow this symbolic Israel, America, that has had every bit as much privilege as Israel ever had, why would he let us get by with such open, notorious rebellion against him while claiming to be a nation under God? I believe that we have placed ourselves squarely in the judgment of Almighty God, starting in God's own house.
And you know, it's so interesting, if you read the scriptures, which I know you have, I mean, God got the Babylonians to come down and attack Israel or the Assyrians, and he used these terrible and wicked people, of course, to destroy Israel and to bring the people back to him, because only in times of suffering did they return to God, as they always did. But of course, something had to get them out of their haughty belief that they were the determinant of what was right and wrong.
Well, that's true. And so strong did I feel about this that we recorded it in our most recent newsletter, Stan, that went out across the country, and people, as they've gotten a hold of this, they've been shocked by it, and they said, you know, this is the message we need to be hearing.
All right, we're going to be getting to this in just a moment when we get back, right here at Radio Liberty.
most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four tapes set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention several of the other things that we carry here. One of them, of course, is the big Berkey water filters. And the big Berkey water filter is made of stainless steel. It filters about 2.5 gallons of water at a time. The water goes in the top, goes to the ceramic filters that are packed with activated charcoal, comes out the bottom, and is really cleaned up. And most of the herbicides and pesticides and bacteria and everything else is gone. And a lot of the chlorine and the water really tastes good. Now, it doesn't take out fluoride. You have to get special post-filters for that or for the Berkey light, but this does a great job of cleaning up the water. The big Berkey's $239.95, $10 for shipping, and if you buy it through us, you get a four-tape set or a video we've produced. On the other hand, you can get the big Berkey in every state in the Union except for California and Iowa. So if you'd like to get something in California, you can get the Berkey light, and that's made out of Lexan. It's got clear surface. It's what you make bulletproof glass out of, so they really don't shatter. They're pretty well indestructible. They put the water in the top. It goes through a black Berkey filter, and these are really much more efficient than the big Berkey filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years at the most, depending on how much you use them, because they cannot be cleaned as effectively as you can the big Berkey filters, which can be boiled and reactivated. So the Berkey light's only $199. Both are available through Radio Liberty. If you go to our website at radioliberty.com, you can see the Berkey and the Berkey light filters. They both work very well. They're wonderful in case of an emergency, and you can filter pool water, or you can filter river water or lake water or pond water. It's a great thing to have. Call 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, our guest this afternoon is Chuck Crismeyer, and of course he is calling America to repentance. And I think it's about time we called America to repentance. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to say what great people we are and how holy we are and how close to God we are. But look and see what's going on in America today. Look and see the breakdown of the moral structure of our society. Watch MTV television. See what's going on our television screens. I mean, you know, there's no more, people are concerned about, you know, the television, pardon me, the cigarettes on television, why some of the people are smoking cigarettes. Well, look at the social mores on our television and our movies. Little wonder so many of our young people are confused about what's right and what's wrong when we watch our movies, and almost always you're going to see the young couple heading off to bed when they're unmarried, and nobody ever says this is morally wrong.
Well, Stan, that's true. And, you know, I think another perspective that perhaps it would be helpful for us to discuss on this is the whole idea that it's not just about America. It's not just about, getting things back so we can have 3 chickens in every pot and 4 cars in every garage and live happily ever after. It's about getting ready for the second coming of Christ. Increasingly, people are coming to the realization that the signs of the times are being fulfilled right before our very eyes with such rapidity that it makes your head spin. And yet we're going on just as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, making merry, just jolly, doing whatever we please, totally lacking cognizance of what's really developing, as it was in the days of Lot, he said. There in Luke chapter 17. And this was the day before his crucifixion. Jesus brought this message, the Olivet Discourse, to his 12 disciples. He was telling them the thing that was most important on his mind. And yet, it's almost as if in America today, in our churches, we have no consciousness of the time that we're in. We're in the most incredible moment in the history of mankind. And, you know, every day on my program, we're saying, people get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home. People get ready. Jesus is coming. It's not a scare tactic. It's reality. It's a reality check, you know, for our lives. We say we're believers. We say we believe in Christ and that he's coming again. But in reality, we're not prepared at all for that.
And, of course, in the days of Noah, as Christ had said, as it was in the days of Noah, well, the days of Noah were totally corrupt. And in fact, the world was so corrupt that the Lord decided, had come to the final conclusion, the only solution was to destroy everything and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And as you look around what's going on in our schools today and what's going on in our television today, you know, can we say that we are much better off than they were in the days of Noah?
No, I don't think we can. And it's fascinating because Arnold Toynbee, the great historian, said that if the conditions that were happening in America were exactly the same conditions that had brought down 19 of the previous 22 civilizations in world history. And you know when he made that comment?
When?
30 years ago. He said that the things that were happening in America then would have brought down 19 of the 22 previous great civilizations. Just think what he would say today if he could see the debauchery that has been normalized even in God's own house, even in evangelical Christians' homes, even in our congregations. It is just absolutely mind-boggling. And we don't realize how bad it really is because we're comparing ourselves to somebody else. But God's not comparing us to somebody else. He's comparing us to his only begotten Son. And there's an absolute standard there, and we've lost sight of the standard because we've all become relativists.
Sure. Well, let's go to Nathan, who's calling in from Contra Costa. Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Yes, I do. It's an honor to speak to you, Pastor Chris Meyer. Thank you very much for letting me on the program. You know, in 1991, America agreed formally to honor divine law, to honor the universal laws of Noah, and yet we failed to do so. And every time nations have agreed to honor a covenant and failed to do so, there's some measure of divine judgment. And, you know, I can't help but to notice that since 1991, we've grown unparalleled in terms of our power and our influence in the world, and yet the depravity on television has increased. Much is said of Janet Jackson, but, you know, there's even worse stuff that's on there, just all manner of evils. And now we have, as you mentioned, the gay marriage controversy, and we have the courts superseding the legislatures and trying to get supersede the democratic process and to get this filth in through the back door. And I think that, yeah, I'll just leave off with this. I think that what Americans have to do is realize that, as you stated, it's not just grace, it's not just belief. God can get tired of just, quote, grace, end quote, and just, quote, belief, end quote. You have to accept divine law. You have to accept the universe. You have to accept that you don't murder, you don't steal, you don't worship idols, you don't blaspheme, you don't fornicate, you treat animals justly, and you establish just courts. People have to follow these laws, or we're going to continue on this downhill slide. And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Nathan. Let's go to. Do you have any comment at all on what Nathan said?
Well, the only thing that I would say, it caused me to think of Jesus' words there in Matthew 7, I believe it is, where he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father." That doesn't line up with some of our theology, but that's what Jesus said.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Dale, who's calling in from Soquel. Hi, Dale. A question or comment?
Just a quick comment that we're to do the things that with out of the joy of our hearts, whether it be giving or love one another, celebrating the Sabbath, because these are all gifts for us for life, and not because some man requires us to do his idea of what's right. It's not what's right, it's who's right, it's God. Let's praise God for that.
All right, fine. Anything else, Dale?
Thank you very much.
God
bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And, of course, we carry Pastor Chris Meyer's books, both Out of Egypt, which a prophetic call to the end time church, and his book, Renewing the Soul of America. And I'm sure it's just coincidence, but Pastor Chris Meyer sent us five of those. He called us saying that he'd gotten the package back from the postal department. They'd taken the books out, left the bill in there, and sent him the empty package of wrappings, you know. I say that, well, probably they just wanted to be able to read your book, or maybe they didn't want the book to
get out. You know, it's absolutely true, Stan, and when I took that back to the post office and showed it to them, they were so baffled. They looked at it. How could such a thing happen? I mean, it was very carefully cut out, the label on the package, and they had the invoice that I sent you, but no books.
Well, anyway, we appreciate having. Let me just suggest to our listeners that Renewing the Soul of America, and the subtitle is One Person at a Time, Beginning with You. These are great books. We recommend them to you, and we hope you'll want to get them. Out of Egypt and Renewing the Soul of America by Pastor Chris Meyer, both available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then remember Pastor Chris Meyer's website, saveus.org. And let's go to Steve calling from Tennessee. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. I just want to make a comment. I think one of the main reasons we're in trouble is that the church is in apostasy. They're in bed with the Antichrist. And, you know, with a situation like that, there's not too much hope.
All right. Well, why do you say they're in bed with the Antichrist?
With the Jew.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you. Well, if the... we have to get a little anti-Semitism in there, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still not following that, what the Jew has to do with the Antichrist particularly. But in any event, I would agree with the gentleman with regard to the apostasy. And, of course, the Apostle Paul made it very clear, warning the church, the Thessalonian church, that just before the return of Christ, that there would be a massive apostasy of the professing church. And, of course, that again fights against some people's theology, because you can't fall away from a place that you've never been. But many are going to fall away. And it is going to be, as Jesus said in Matthew 7, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and very few there be that find it. That is not a popular thing to say in America, but that's what the Lord of the church said. And it's going to be connected with this apostasy. And just as very few professing Jewish people, very few Jews, relatively speaking, will ultimately survive and confess Christ as their Messiah. Even so, very few Gentiles, and even Gentile, those who profess the name of Christ, will ultimately inherit the kingdom because of the massive falling away. As with the Jew, so with the Gentile, and that's why the Apostle Paul warned the church not to get proud, not to get arrogant, thinking that somehow we were better than the Jewish people. He said, your only hope is to be grafted in through the Jewish people. That's your only hope. And for those that don't know where to find that, you might look at it in Romans chapter 9 through 11.
Well, you know, I look at what's happening today as sort of the Church of Laodicea, which was neither hot nor cold. It sort of was lukewarm, and the great tragedy was that people were going to the church, and they thought that they were doing the right thing, but they were in churches where certainly there was no real desire to be close to the Lord. They were simply going through the motions, but there was nothing behind it.
That picture is a picture of Lot's wife. You know, there in, I think it's Luke chapter 17, Jesus was talking about the end times, and he said it would be as in the days of Lot. And, of course, the story, you know, when Abraham, the father of the faith, came out of Ur of the Chaldees, he brought his nephew Lot with him and his wife and family. And here they're, Abraham's looking for a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. And he and his nephew get into tough circumstances because the land won't handle all of them. So he tells Lot to find the place that he wants to go to take his herds, and then Abraham will take whatever else. So the scripture says that Lot lifted up his eyes towards Sodom, like the land of Egypt, and he thought that was great. So he headed off. The scripture says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And that's what most Christians are doing today in America. They're pitching their tents toward Sodom. While pointing their finger at the homosexuals in Sodom, they're pitching their tents toward Sodom because they love the culture. And that was the problem with Lot's wife. Here they get into Sodom. God wants to deliver them from the devastation that he's going to bring, the fire and brimstone that he's going to bring to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he sends the angels in there. The men of Sodom come. They want to fornicate, commit sexual acts with these men. And finally, God grabs Lot and his family and yanks them out of Sodom. And he says, whatever you do, do not look back. But Lot's wife loved the culture of Sodom. She just loved it. And she looked back. She longed for it. And as she did, she turned into a pillar of salt. And Stan, you know what's so horrendous about this as well? That Lot's sons-in-law, married to his own daughters, when he tried to get them to come out, they mocked him because they also loved the culture of Sodom. They loved it. And here they were supposedly associated with Christians of the day, so to speak. Lot, the scripture calls him a righteous man. But something was really wrong in that household, and they longed for the culture rather than for Christ. And we've got that same problem today.
And, of course, I'm sure that it must have been very exciting living in Sodom, you know, because they had a very advanced and comfortable society. And
best restaurants in the country.
Right. but, of course, the similarities between Sodom, you know, and what's going on in America today, and a nation that's turned its back on God, and you watch the things on television, and they're all, I mean, so many of the programs are pro-homosexual, you know, and so many of our motion pictures are pro-homosexual, and eroding, you know, the moral standards of our country, and it is basically an intentional affront to God. Homosexuality is a revolt against God. That's really what it is. It's saying, we don't want your rules. We don't want to abide by your rules. Mm-hmm. And so many of our political leaders go right along with it.
Well, and it's then not just the political leaders, it's the pastors.
I know.
Even of evangelical churches. I mean, when you've got a divorce rate, Stan, among pastors that equals that of their parishioners and is the second highest of all professions in the country, you've got a revolt from the pulpits of America. I mean, we are in this up to our eyeballs in the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we just refuse to accept God's viewpoint on these issues. And it's not just about, you know, trying to restore America so we can have the American dream. It's about being the kind of people that God wants us to be so that we can be prepared for his coming and so that we can through our nation fulfill our God-given destiny, which was to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, the true good news of Jesus Christ, across the seven seas and the seven continents to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour.
Well, I fear that one day they may be sending missionaries to America to try to bring Christianity to our country.
They already are, from third world countries, sending missionaries to America.
Well, I think that it's a sad commentary on what's taken place in this once great Christian nation as we've allowed the moral foundation of this country to be eroded, as our ministers have stood silently, as the Supreme Court has come out against God and prayer and all of these things. And this didn't happen by accident. It happened by intent. They knew they were eroding the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country when they came up with their decisions back in 1962. And yet, of course, the church was silent. After all, the litany, we are a nation of laws, but whose laws? Well, no longer God's laws. Chuck, yeah, I've got 30 seconds to wrap it up. What are your parting thoughts?
Well, Stan, let me just tell people that there's some positive answers, positive direction, and it's contained in my book, Redoing the Soul of America, that you've offered. That's why 38 national Christian leaders have endorsed it. It's a different kind of a book. It's not a culture book. War book. It's a book about answers for each one of us individually and for our families, for our congregations. It's going to set a tone that will bring change in our lives.
Renewing the Soul of America. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Thank you so much, Chris. God bless you.
What a blessing. Thank you.
Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment of the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention that the Institute of the Constitution, it's a program to teach you and your friends about America's Christian history, about our Constitution, about our Declaration of Independence. One of the most exciting things is when you can finally begin to think independently and realize you've been lied to in your schools and lied to by the media and lied to by our politicians. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. And there's all the difference between a republic and a democracy, between day and night. And, of course, you need to get in the background of the history of America. IOTC, the Institute of the Constitution, is 12 lectures by Dr. John Eidsmo. If you'd like to know more about getting an Institute kit, call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And request a kit or go to the website iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. And then let me mention the Miracle 2 soap products. We sell them. We can't make any medical claims for them. We can just tell you that an awful lot of people who use these products give us wonderful stories about the great things it's done for them. And I certainly wouldn't be without my Miracle 2 moisturizing soap, because it's taken care of a rash that I had. And I know that Joyce Riley gives this to an awful lot of the Gulf War veterans, where nothing else will help their rashes, and these products seem to. So all we can do is say, try them and see whether they will help you. The neutralizer sometimes seems to help people with heartburn or with lower gastrointestinal tract symptoms. I've taken them regularly. I believe that they are beneficial. So if you'd like to get an introductory offer at a reduced price, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. It's the Miracle 2 soap products. And why don't you call right now? Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day, as we reach out across America on about 60 different types of outlets every week, and some of those are satellites and some of them are internet, but at least it's a voice of what I believe is reason in a world that seems to have gone mad. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get the four best tapes of the month and the monthly newsletter, why not give us a call at 1 800 5 1-800-548-9227. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, that's the February newsletter, which talks about what happened on September 11th, give us a call. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope many of you will go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day. We have shortwave available 4 hours a day, and so if you don't have a computer, you can get our shortwave programs. And 3 hours from now, we'll be back again on our evening shortwave program right here at WHRI 5.745 megahertz. That's 5.745 megahertz. If you need a good shortwave receiver with a 24-foot aerial, give us a call and just ask about the Sanzian radio that Radio Liberty offers. Then, of course, if you'd like to, as I mentioned earlier, get a free copy of our newsletter. We'll send it to you. We do hope that many of you will tell your friends about our programs, because that's how we build up our audience on this and our other programs, People Telling People Telling People. Now, as far as education is concerned, certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is one of the best sources of information, because it will take you into the background of this spiritual battle, which is behind the political and ideological and cultural battle that we talk about so much today. And you can get the book by itself or with the video and audio tape. You can get each one of them separately or get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special for $29.95. And then, of course, you can get my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, my video, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, going into who financed Russia, who financed the Nazis, who financed the North Vietnamese. It's an interview I did with Professor Sutton, Anthony Sutton, before he passed away recently. And, of course, it's a fascinating video. And there is a book by the same title. We have just about the last supply of those books. And when they're gone, why, the book is out of print and probably will never be reprinted. But The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, it really gives you insight into the greatest scam of all time, how we have financed our enemies so we could rally the people behind the government and get them to be willing to give up their freedom in the name of safety. So, again, the video, the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And then, of course, we have this wonderful video. It's called Diaprax. It's the story of the church growth movement. That's Diaprax in the church, the story of the church growth movement, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, the story of the Fourth World War, or the Third World War we're in now, and the secret societies that got us into this position. And there really are secret societies out there, and you need to know about them, and you need to understand that these secret societies all tie into the ancient mystery religions of Babylon and Assyria and Persia. There's nothing new under the sun. Remember, our telephone number is 1-800-548-9227. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But we ask you to pray for revival, because truly this is a spiritual battle, and if America doesn't turn back to God, God will never again bless our nation. And lastly, we ask you to remember my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle 5 hours every day. So, again, remember our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.